This is Hope Radio on Moose FM, a non-denominational Christian celebration of life in song, spirit, and word. Here's Tim Rout.
Welcome to Hope Radio. Have you ever wondered what would happen if Jesus were preaching the Sunday sermon in a church, and all of a sudden, a demon-possessed man popped up and challenged him? Well, believe it or not, that did happen, and today we're going to take a look. Our Heavenly Father, we love your word, that you would open it to us and grant us much grace to understand what you have there for us, that we would think what you think, love what you love, hate what you hate, and live as your Son would, in whose name we pray. Amen. Here's Petra kicking us off, Creed.
Opening hearts and minds to faith and joy on Moose FM.
We're in Mark chapter 1, verses 21 to 28 today. I'm reading from the English Standard Version. And they went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath he entered the synagogue and was teaching. And they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one who had authority, and not as the scribes. And immediately there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. But Jesus rebuked him, saying, Be silent, and come out of him. And the unclean spirit, convulsing him, and crying out with a loud voice, came out of him. And they were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, saying, What is this? A new teaching with authority? He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him. And at once his fame spread everywhere throughout all the surrounding region of Galilee. We live in an age that has, by and large, rejected the supernatural. Well, that's not to say all Canadians are atheists, by no means. Rather, most Canadians, even many who call themselves Christians, live as if the natural universe is all that exists. But when presented with passages like this, we're forced once again to deal with the Bible on its own terms. This is a supernatural book relating supernatural details of the supernatural life of the Lord Jesus, including his power over demons. A quick review, demons are fallen angels. Their leader, Satan, is himself a fallen angel. They rebelled long ago, prior to Adam and Eve's revolt, and were cast from heaven to earth, that is, into this material creation, for a time. And when that time is up, every demon, here referred to as an unclean spirit, will be cast into hell. For details on Satan's failed insurrection and fall, see Ezekiel chapter 28, verses 11 to 19. Mark 1:21, and they went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath, he entered the synagogue and was teaching. Capernaum was a small fishing village located on the northern shore of the Sea of Galilee. While the Lord's family originated in Nazareth, and while he was born in Bethlehem, Jesus, together with Joseph's household, ultimately settled in Capernaum. And again, notice that word immediately, one of Mark's favorite adverbs. Christ did everything with certitude. He wasted no time. The Lord Jesus went into the local synagogue where he did what he always did during his earthly ministry. He quickly became known as a Bible teacher. That's what rabbi means, teacher. You'll sometimes see people calling him rabbi. Can you imagine what it would be like to sit under the instruction of the only perfect teacher in history? I've preached many hundreds of sermons, but not one of them was letter perfect, any more than this one will be. But Christ spoke forth God's word with absolute clarity and accuracy and depth. He possessed an infinite understanding of the Scriptures, being that he himself is the author of them. We see this reflected in verse 22, and they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one who had authority, and not as the scribes. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, spoke the Word of God with the authority of God. He made no use of the latest scholarly opinions or commentaries. He didn't blather on about popular theological theories or speculate as to how these might relate to the Scriptures. Jesus spoke with authority and not as the scribes, the so-called experts of the Old Testament law. And not surprisingly, the people reacted with astonishment. Hey, pastor, if you really want to impact your congregation this Sunday, just preach the Bible. Speak from the only authoritative source available to us, God's written word. And don't go beyond what is written. Our authority isn't like the Lord's. He spoke from his own power, but we borrow ours from him. So if you want to astonish your congregation, stick to the Scriptures and leave your personal opinions where they belong, outside the pulpit. Because if your people aren't impressed with the Word, the whole Word, and nothing but the Word, you can bet God is not impressed with them. We are Christ's ambassadors, but it's His message, not our own vain imaginings, cutesy illustrations, or intellectual pontifications. Verse 23, and immediately there was in the synagogue a man with an unclean spirit. This sentence is one reason New Testament Greek scholars consider Mark's vocabulary to be a bit limited. He has few words with which to paint the action of the narrative. Things are happening. They're happening quickly, sometimes with startling severity. And here we see a man with what the ESV calls, quite literally, an unclean spirit. Your translation might render demon, and that's fine. Same diff. Notice that this demoniac was in the synagogue. He was sitting right there in the worship service, warming a pew, as it were. This is not uncommon in churches, for example, who do not guard the gate or practice church discipline. If you let people into membership who have no meaningful profession of faith, and then you do not correct members who sin, don't be surprised, Pastor, when they try to fire you for saying things like, Jesus is Lord, or all Scripture is God-breathed, or believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Verse 24 actually picks up off the end of verse 23 because, if you haven't noticed, some chapter and verse divisions fall in awkward places. The text is inspired, the numbering system isn't. And he, the man with the unclean spirit, cried out, What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. Several things. Firstly, demons can speak. They speak through the person they possess. So when you hear someone spouting off some profanity or another, blaspheming God at every turn, yes, you might simply be looking at a very angry reprobate. But it could be a demon. Secondly, notice the plurality. What have you to do with us? Demons often work in groups and can possess a person in great numbers. It's not unusual for the scriptures to say a person was possessed by an unclean spirit, singular, when speaking of someone in whom many demons resided. Mark chapter 5, verses 8 and 9 is a good example. And thirdly, these demons know exactly who they're talking to, Jesus the Holy One. Satan and his demons are bound over for destruction, and they know it. In fact, the Bible says, hell was created for the destruction of Satan and his demons, Matthew 25:41. Though all human beings who enter eternity with their sins unforgiven will likewise go to hell. Our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, is the epitome of meekness, great strength under complete control. He is infinitely gracious and kind. He pours out His love toward His children with incomprehensible depth. But make no mistake, Jesus is God. He is the sovereign King and Judge, and His wrath is equally infinite and immeasurably terrifying. Jesus will judge Satan and his demons and every single human being who leaves this world with sins unforgiven. Verse 25, but Jesus rebukes him, saying, Be silent and come out of him. Even for the most faithful Christian, our view of God's radical holiness is inadequate. Here we have an interaction between the scum of the universe and the Creator of the universe. There is no universe in which this demon would have had any business addressing his Maker, for whose glory he was created, and against whom he had rebelled. This weak, pathetic, mangy mutt of a fallen angel dared to speak, and to speak with such audacity, to the King of Kings, his destroyer, remember. And so Jesus did what he always did with demons. He commanded the thing to shut up and get out. God the Son does not accept the blasphemous honorifics of demons, and remember, demons are liars. Jesus says in John 8:44, the devil does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. So, even if this testimony, Jesus of Nazareth, the Holy One of God, is technically true, it is grossly deficient and offered in a disrespectful tone. Partial truth is still a lie in Yahweh's estimation, and demons always lie, even if it's not obvious. Verse 26, and the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying out with a loud voice, came out of the man. Some people have an exceedingly sub-biblical understanding of the relationship between God and Satan. So to clarify, Yahweh is in charge of everything and everyone, always. There is no sense in which anyone or anything can get the upper hand on him. Remember, Jesus went to the cross voluntarily, and here, when the Son of God says, shut up and get out, that's exactly what the demon does. It seems unclean spirits don't like leaving those they possess. Their departure is often accompanied by shrieks and convulsions. But when Jesus commands, it is so. Some believers live their lives in a state of anxiety over demons. They're concerned about guarding every word lest they somehow ruffle the devil's feathers. Understand, brother, Satan hates your guts no matter what. But the devil can do nothing to you, and I mean nothing, without God's permission. If you're not sure you understand that vital piece of theology, I'd recommend you spend some time carefully reading through the first two chapters of the book of Job. Christians have no reason to live in fear. In fact, we're commanded to be anxious for nothing, Philippians 4:6, because Jesus is in control, even of the demons. If Satan messes with you, that's only because your loving Heavenly Father has granted him limited permission to do so for a limited time for your testing. So stand firm and endure for the glory of the Lord, because when Jesus speaks, unclean spirits scream and run. Verse 27, and they were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, saying, what is this? A new teaching with authority? He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him. Got a little bit to unpack here. So, demons are real, and the members of this synagogue had never met any among their esteemed Bible teachers who had the power to kick demons out. Jesus brought a new teaching, the gospel of salvation, whereby a sinner convicted under God's law could be set free from his bondage and the death it brings, and be made forever alive in the Messiah. A new teaching, and with authority. The people's amazement is understandable. Often when a person encounters Jesus for the first time, he comes away with his head swimming, at least a bit. Self-help groups, actuation seminars, diversity training programs, various mood-altering pharmaceuticals, nothing brings perfect peace. But then there's Jesus. His followers deal with all the same troubles anyone else does. They carry all the same burdens and ask many of the same questions, but then they do something completely unique. Christians leave their burdens at the foot of the cross. Yes, they discuss, and they study, and they ponder, and they pray, and then they leave it with the Lord and walk away, often joyful. The authority of our Lord and God is truly amazing, so if you find yourself astonished, well, good. Of course, there was also a sense in which these synagogue goers were astounded for another reason, their sinful unbelief. Remember, Capernaum was Jesus' hometown, and his own people did not, for the most part, believe in him, something that he would later rebuke them for rather harshly, Matthew 11:23. The Lord Jesus really did bring a new teaching and a new covenant, sealed by his blood. And that means grace to all who will repent of their sins and embrace him by faith. Verse 28, and at once his fame spread everywhere throughout all the surrounding region of Galilee. Understand, The Lord was not seeking popularity in the usual sense, not then and not now. He was seeking true worshipers, John 4:23, who understood who he is and would bow the knee on that basis. The gospel accounts are cram-packed with people, thousands of them, who came to Jesus, followed Jesus, some described as believing in Jesus, yet not unto salvation. Some came because they wanted a free lunch, John chapter 6. Some came because they wanted the Lord to do them a favor, see Luke 12. Some wanted him to heal, Matthew 8. Raise the dead, Matthew 9. But those who come to Christ savingly, who may well be recipients of his gracious healing, rescue from demons, miraculous provision of some sort, recognize it's all about him, not just what he can do for you. And in the same way, believers look forward to heaven, not for the streets of gold, as nice as that might be, but for the God who resides there, upon heaven's throne, whose presence and fellowship and glory we will enjoy forever. We're in it for Jesus, not stuff. And yes, we thank him for the stuff. All of his blessings, especially forgiveness, the eternal life he's granted us, but we're in it for him. We want Jesus. There's something of a paradox in the New Testament when it comes to the Lord's public fame. On the one hand, the more miracles he did, the better known he became. Yet at the same time, Jesus often commanded people to not go around blabbing about it once they had seen and experienced him for themselves. All of this played into God's perfect design for his son's life and ministry, such that in the end, Jesus did indeed become famous, but not renowned for the kinds of reasons one might normally expect of a king. Jesus became well known in such a way that human authorities felt threatened, and they arrested him and beat him and murdered him. A man who had committed no crime, not a single sin. So wrapping up, first, the Bible is a supernatural book detailing supernatural events, including demon possession, and you must take it on that basis or not at all. Second, Jesus spoke with authority because he has authority over all things, including demons. Third, don't assume that just because you're a part of a church that demonic activity couldn't be occurring there. Unclean spirits love messing with the body of Christ, especially among false converts sent to corrupt the congregation. Fourth, Jesus isn't just the Savior. He is Lord and he is destroyer, both of Satan and his demons and all those who leave this world with their sins unforgiven. And lastly, Jesus is God, the Son, and what he says goes. Just because the Lord has become famous, just because our culture until recently paid lip service to him, does not mean they followed him savingly. Many presume to rewrite the narrative and turn the Lord into a more worldly, palatable comrade who will affirm them in their rebellion. But Jesus is Yahweh the Son. I am that I am. And he does not change, and he cannot be changed. And one day those who now spit in his face will be consumed by his wrath, begging the mountains to fall on them, if only to shield them from what is to come. Revelation chapter 6. Some people come to Jesus, but it's not the biblical Jesus. No forgiveness, no everlasting life. Some people come to Jesus for all the wrong reasons. Where's my new Mercedes? No forgiveness, no life. And some seem to believe upon Christ. They make orthodox outward profession of faith, but are whitewashed tombs full of dead men's bones. But then there are those who by God's grace have found the narrow way to life eternal, Matthew 7. Yes, they've had a personal experience of God's redeeming power and mercy. Yes, they have heard and believed the biblical gospel. Yes, they have received the Lord Jesus Christ by the empty hand of faith, a gift that can never be deserved, and now stand regenerated, justified before God, new creations in Christ. And these few have come to Jesus on his terms, repentant and sincere. Heavenly Father, this is your word, and we love your Bible. Grant that the church be sifted, that the redeemed be contrasted with those who, like many in Capernaum's synagogue, merely take up space. And may that never be said of us. We bow the knee to him who is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and in whose name we pray. Amen. Big Daddy Weave playing us out. You found me on Hope Radio.
I've regretted most of them, but that was back long before the day when I saw a flash of light and I heard the sound of a voice like thunder shake the ground. It was the first time I remember ever feeling my heart beat, and the arms within me felt like grace, and I realized in their embrace could be held so tight. I've never felt so free. Also known as the day that you found me. Things I want, it's everything. Some may call it strange, I don't care what people say. I knew you were the only way. When I saw a flash of light and I heard the sound of a voice like thunder shake the ground, it was the first time I remember ever feeling my heart beat, and the arms that gripped me felt like grace, and I realized in their embrace could be held so tight. I've never felt so free. Also known as the day that you found me. I've never known a love like this. You captured my heart and you brought the sweetest peace to my life. Brought me into the light. Well, now I'm all yours, Jesus. Draw me into you. I don't think that I could ever be the same. Well, who would want to be anyway? When I saw a flash of light and I heard the sound of a voice like thunder shake the ground, it was the first time I remember ever feeling my heart beat, and the arms around me felt like grace, and I realized in their embrace to be held so tight. I've never felt so free. Well, I saw a flash of light and I heard the sound of a voice like thunder shake the ground, it was the first time I remember ever feeling my heart beat, and the arms around me felt like grace, and I realized to be held so tight, I've never felt so free. Also known as the day that you found me. The day that you found me. Oh, when you found me, called me by name, God.
Tim Rout has served as a Christian pastor for more than 20 years. Listen every Sunday at 10 a.m. for more Hope Radio, a celebration of life in song, spirit, and word on Moose FM.